than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, the bye week is over. What a boring Sunday it was, right? I mean, sure, there was football on. We could watch that. But, hey, no Ravens football? Come on! Well, here we go. We're coming right back. We're charging right back at you. We're going to be previewing the Ravens-Vikings game this week. Joining me, as always, talk all things Ravens, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Happy Ravens game week, finally, right?
Finally.
We were just talking. I feel like the bye week drug on. What do you think?
Well, I think the reason it felt that way, because, I mean, there was no Ravens football on Thursday or Monday or Sunday, but also this was kind of the week of the backup quarterback. So a lot of different faces, not stuff that we're used to seeing on TV. It was a weird week in the NFL.
It was, and not only a weird week, but we got some help, bye week help.
That's right.
Thank Ravens. You, New York Jets, man. When Harbaugh says this league's week to week, I mean, it's week to week.
You got to thank Joe Flacco, I guess. He put in a good word for us at the New York Jets facility. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think so. But he was on the sideline because obviously he joined the team late. But it was a Flacco effect nonetheless.
Right.
We rejoin from the bye week, and the Ravens are still in first place just as we didn't leave them the last time.
You know what? The Ravens got to put their feet up, got to relax this week, but still get to move into the first spot of the AFC North. So not a bad situation for the Ravens to be in right now. But, hey, also this past week, besides the Ravens not playing, is the trade deadline happened this week, and the Ravens were silent. Absolutely quiet. They did not get any new talent. They did not let any talent go anywhere else for draft picks or anything like that. Are you surprised at all that the Ravens were so quiet at the trade deadline? They did nothing.
Yeah, I would say I'm not surprised, just because, number one, the cap situation. I mean, sure. Money. You know, I think fans forget that the Ravens have a cap number, and even though it's like unofficial, you just can't go out there and just sign anybody, just like baseball is concerned. But no, and two, they love their draft capital. You know, obviously they love to use picks to acquire people. We know that they made a trade a few years ago to get the Marcus Peters trade and all that. And they love to acquire picks to get players. But I just felt like we discussed it amongst some friends, and I felt like, you know what? Yeah. I mean, everybody had their point of view. Like, yeah, I think they might get this. And there were some angles, right? There was rumors that the Ravens could be interested in this player. We heard Allen Robinson's name come up, which I have no idea why, because we have Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman. But then I heard whispers of Marlon Mack could be on the move for the Indy Colts. I said it right this time.
There you go.
I said it right. And
attaboy.
Yeah. So we heard some whispers of some players, and there were some ideas floating out there with some trade bait. But you know what? The trade line did come and go with the Ravens not making a move. I know some NFL teams made some moves, but yeah, again, good for them. But and Harbaugh alluded to it in his press conference. As you know, we're good with what we have here, and we're getting healthier. You know, we're getting Nick Boyle back. Your boy Derek Wolf's coming back. You know, Latavius Murray's coming back. So the Ravens at the right time are getting some reinforcements. There was an awesome thing out there. It was actually called the reinforcements. It was like a picture. I think like Ben Cleveland's face was on it, and among other people. So like the Ravens getting healthier. The bye week was good for a good measure and good reason. So not surprised that this team didn't make any moves. I think, you know, with the pickups that they have and the bodies that they have, they can only do so much. So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed they made a move. I mean, hey, if they make a move, great. but I didn't see any potential out there. Even if they did or didn't have the cap room, it wasn't like, oh my God, guys, you missed an opportunity. I mean, we always say in Ozzie we trust, now it's in EDC we trust, and you know, got to believe in the system, believe in the process, but this is what we have going forward for the second half of 2021, right?
Yeah, Ryan Mink had a really good tweet after the trade deadline happened. He said, you know, like you just alluded to, the Ravens trade deadline acquisitions, Nick Boyle, Derek Wolfe, Sammy Watkins, Latavius Murray, and Chris Westry. So the Ravens, even though they haven't traded for anyone or done any trades or anything like that, let anybody go, they are getting a lot of players back, which is good. I mean, for the second half of this season, that is a good thing that we're going to have some new talent. And they are making moves like Eric Tomlinson, who has been filling in for Nick Boyle for almost a year now. He was cut from the team. He was brought back onto the practice squad. So I assume they are making room for Nick Boyle.
Yes, they are.
So yep. It seems to me like the Ravens are happy with who they have, and especially happy who they're getting back, because I mean, this has been a team of players that were practice squad guys. And with that, that's a good thing. Now, looking at the practice for Wednesday, it is a little worrisome that guys like Derek Wolfe, who he's definitely not playing, but he missed practice again, even though they brought him back to practice. So he's still missing practice, Derek Wolfe is. And you've got guys like Latavius Murray, who is not practicing. Sammy Watkins did not practice. So maybe they're saving these guys up closer to game time, or get some practice in maybe on Friday, Saturday, who knows. But it is a little worrisome that these guys are coming back, but they are coming back probably a little bit slower than a lot of people would want. But it is a good sign that they're at least getting designated to practice, I guess.
No, yeah, I mean, anything is a good sign, right? If it's a trend in the right direction. You don't want to see these players just remain off injured. I mean, you know, look at the Saints, Michael Thomas, you know, he was designated to maybe come back, and then now he's out for the year, you know? So it's like, you don't want something to linger. And then you kind of ask what's up with that injury. So you know, whether if it's they're back at practice full strength and they're going to probably start or play Sunday, or whether they're just getting their feet wet, getting back in, you know, it's kind of like, hey, any progress is towards that, hey, I'm on board with, right? We definitely need the bodies because, dude, you look at the injuries, man. We're pushing 20 players on IR. This team cannot afford another injury.
Yeah.
I don't see it if they can survive.
We want these guys to come back. We need those numbers. We need that. And we'll let everybody, you know, in on a little secret here for the podcast. I try to do a little research on the matchup for the upcoming game. So I'm looking up Ravens Vikings, and I'm looking up some stats and stuff like that. Everybody's saying the same thing, as in everybody doesn't know what to expect from this Vikings team. And that's a little worrisome, because they're not playing the greatest. They're a little inconsistent, which could kind of throw the game plan off for the Ravens. But I'm kind of in the same boat after reading all these articles, watching all these highlight videos and stuff like that, is this Vikings team we're going to be meeting up on Sunday, it's going to be a little rough to have a game plan for this team, because you really don't know which one of these teams is going to show up. Is it going to be the team that you know, had a really good game this past Sunday, or is it going to be a team that the Ravens are going to completely get to roll over?
And that remains to be seen. Stay tuned for the next installment of Ravens football, right? Right? Am I right? You know, look, historically, the Ravens under Harbaugh, aren't they awesome off a bye week?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
And we're at home. And watching the press conferences of the players and coaches this week, they look refreshed. Lamar smiling, coach is smiling, joking with me. Coach was joking with the media about, like, not celebrating Halloween, wearing a costume, and, like, he don't get real trick-or-treaters because he lives off the off-beaten path. And by the way, I do want to state this. So you brought this to my attention, the whole Lamar daughter situation.
Yeah, Lamar apparently is a dad. I had no idea.
No one knew had an idea. Like, and he was asked about it during the press conference. But yeah, who knew? And there were some rumors out there that could have been his niece, apparently, but he's got a daughter. How about that? So we have a little Miss Jackson in the house. That's great, man. What a thing to learn on a bye week about your quarterback, huh?
Absolutely. Congratulations to Lamar. I guess this is a belated congratulations on being a dad, because I'm not sure how old she is. She looks like she might be a couple months, maybe a year, but beautiful daughter that he has, and Lamar's a dad, and I mean, I had absolutely no idea. I guess he likes to keep things a little bit private, which that's his right to do, but I mean, absolutely gorgeous kid, and it looks like it's a very happy kid, so very cool for Lamar. He's got another reason to play, I guess. He's got another reason to show off. That's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely, man. And I mean, hey, it's great to get that out there. I know he's a private individual, but good for him, man. But, you know, again, everybody's refreshed. I mean, are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? But, like, it just looks like they're rested. You get back to work. Now comes the fundamentals, right? Because we heard that Harbaugh alluded to the big tackling issues, right, the defense and getting back. Will the team not only be rested and ready to go as they look ready to go, just observing them, you know, on the screens and their interviews and interactions with the media. But obviously we're not involved in seeing the walkthroughs and the day-to-day practice and the intricates of that. But you know what? In retrospect, I'm really excited to see if they can certainly get their best foot forward, because Brandon, in looking at the schedule, there's an opportunity here before they do this gauntlet in December, end of November, December, where they have, you know, five of their AFC North Division games, three in a row. Then you got to play the Packers and the Rams in there. It's going to get very, you know, talk about October being a scary month, right, in Halloween season, right? But, dude, you know, Christmas time, December, when it's supposed to be joy, the most wonderful time of the year.
Right.
It's the most hardest time of the year for the Ravens. So, and they go in a stretch. I mean, again, you know, Vikings up here. Then they got the short week next week, Dolphins in Miami on Thursday Night Football, and then they play the Bears, get a little good a week and a half rest, and then they play Chicago Bears away, and they got two away games. They go to Miami, then go to Chicago before coming back home against Sunday night against the Browns. And the Browns right now are reeling. I mean, obviously, they've been up and down in their season. You know, they won a great game against the Broncos last Thursday night, or two Thursday nights ago with Case Keenum, and then now they get a few guys back, Baker and Chubb, and fall flat to the Steelers. So now with the division the way it is, it's hotly contested, very close. Looking over the next month of football, 8-2 can stare them right in the face, maybe even 9-2 if they can tear the Browns at home on Sunday night. So if this team can get back to the fundamentals and get back, it's kind of like, is every game going to be like the Chargers game? Probably not. But how fun would that be? You know, every tackle's made. Oh, man, like we did show, we joked, we're like, what do we talk about? Like, they did great. It was almost like 2019. Like, well, yeah, they won by 40, and Lamar got benched in the fourth quarter, and it was sunshine and rainbows. Like, oh, they, you can look at the defense, like, oh, they had – the team had four penalties compared to two of the opponent. Like, you can pick them apart that way. Like, you know, it's not going to be like that. But I guess as fans, we demand of the team too much, and highly – rightfully so. But it's like, we've always talked about it. If they put their best foot forward and then they end up getting beat, okay, we can sit here and talk about it. I'm like, he's got beat by a better team. But when you miss tackles constantly against the Bengals, and then you see it, the Bengals go right, turn around the Jets. Do you realize that how crazy is the season? The Jets' two wins is against the Titans and the Bengals. Right now, the Titans, with the huge loss that they had, Derrick Henry out for the year indefinitely, or should be apparently 6 to 8 weeks, but six is the minimum. Who knows? They're right now sitting top of the AFC 6-2 with that crazy game against Indy, but they have their own issue. Now with King Henry being out, that's a huge blow to the AFC. And then with the Bengals faltering, you know, to the Jets, it's like, I mean, and the Ravens, I feel like could be week to week too, man, because it's like, look, you go out, stop the Chargers offense, and then you can't make a tackle against the Bengals when you just made tackles a week prior and you were home for the whole week. It wasn't like you traveled. So, you know, what changed? It's like, you know, and looking at the media and the breakdown of the game, they got to bring the intensity. I feel like I don't know. I just feel like sometimes that when you watch this team play in person or TV, you get the sense that they're like not pumped up for the opponent, you know, like, oh, like you always hear coach like, well, we're preparing for the Vikings this week. I would let them know what that game plan is. Like, are you guys working on tackling? You know, they have different personnel than the Bengals, right? Like, you can't have the same defensive schemes. Like, you know, I'm not calling these guys out. We don't know what they're working on, and we don't know what goes into a weekly prepared game plan. But it's sometimes when you see the effort, you're like, well, they prepared for the Vikings like they did the Bengals. And I'm like, they got dangerous players. Do you know they got Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson? Justin Jefferson is pretty much basically the same receiver as Ja'Marr Chase was. They played on the same offense, you know, like we alluded to. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson came in the same product of LSU. So, and Dalvin Cook's a dangerous guy, and we already know that this team Achilles heel screen passes. So this team is going to be a handful. They have their issues too, but again, you know, the other purple team, it's going to present a great matchup coming out of the bye week and seeing what they can do. I wouldn't say I'm not worried, but because of the what helps me with this matchup and feel easy is the bye week. We don't really sing the bye week blues here in Baltimore because, again, you know, they are very, very, very good against teams coming off a bye, whether it's home or away. So not putting that to their advantage, but, you know, you got it. You take it for what it's worth because it's week to week.
Yeah, and you mentioned those two names, those two wide receivers that the Vikings have. They are a dual threat when it comes to that. If you're Harbaugh and you're the defensive coordinator, who are you putting Marlon Humphrey on? He can't cover both guys at the same time, and our secondary is definitely beat up. They are not as good as Marlon Humphrey is. So who do you think Marlon will be focusing on mostly this year or this game?
It's got to be Justin Jefferson all the way, wouldn't you think?
You think so?
He's got – well, yeah. I mean, you got to put best on best. Now, that – speaking of Marlon, I'm glad you brought him up. I want him to have full redemption because he put the onus out himself that, you know, obviously he let off 200 passing yards last time. Ja'Marr Chase gave him fits, some missed tackles on Marlon's part. And, right, you can have a bad game, but I want full redemption from Marlon Humphrey, and I would love to see – you know, would a defensive scheme work if he's on a man-to-man the whole game? Probably not. Because number one, that's a tiresome assignment. You need some help in the zone defense, but and you got to trust your guys. You can't just put the one guy on the one guy and go mano-a-mano for 60 minutes of football. It's kind of a tall task, man. I play basketball. I'm not comparing basketball to the NFL, but imagine playing man defense in the NBA the whole game and following your guy nonstop. Dude, it's tough, man. And I mean, basketball, you're constantly moving versus obviously NFL gets some little bit of rest, but
right.
I digress on that point, but it's a little bit difficult, but I definitely, you must've saw my notes. Marlon Humphrey is like one of the tops of the list with the defense. I went full blown redemption for 44, man. Got to step it up. It starts with him and the rest. I mean, everybody, accountability, tackling, trust your guys. I've heard alluded to in the local media this week. Go follow what Belichick's preaching. Do your job. If you trust the guy next to you to do his job, because you heard it from Patrick Queen. And the reason why I bring that up, Patrick Queen was pretty much saying like he was trying to do too much. And that's what Wink Martindale was saying, is like he talked to Queen and Queen was like, well, I'm trying this, I'm trying that. No, have your guys do their assignments. You have yours. Don't try to do everybody else's job because you can't. Then you're going to be out of position on a zoom. You're going to miss your guy on a man defense. You know, and that's what's unfortunate. It's like, do your job. There's a reason why Bill Belichick, and I'm sorry, but the Patriots are up and coming as a dark horse in the AFC. They're tied for the last spot or the final spot to get into playoffs if they started right now. I mean, they're 4-4. Look out. Patriots are sneaky good, and they got a weak schedule. Look out for them late this year to make a surge is my prediction. That's another discussion for another day. But it's just to have the coach. Do your job. You know, just like you, man, like you can't worry about everybody else, what they're doing. You know, you can only control what your role is at your job. The same way with me, like, you know, if you're an individual contributor or if you have a team effort for your job, everybody's got a different job out there, but you have to, you know, make that effort to say, you know what, this is mine. I'm going to own it. I'm going to control it and trust my guys around me. So I don't know, you know, see what it comes down to, but it's like off the bye week games are really hard to predict because it's been 2 weeks since they played. And you can only go off by their last game. In their last game, they got absolutely embarrassed and they missed a lot of assignments. So it's like, not saying predict the loss for the Ravens, but it's like, it's almost like, where is this going to go? It's kind of like week one. It resets to me. To me, I kind of go into, how about you, man? But I approach it coming off a bye week, like week one, like, what are we going to see here? And then let's get surprised if they blow the doors off and be like, they're back to prominence. Or if it's a close game or another nail biter, who knows? But between you and me, man, and reminiscing, let's not have another ending. Well, I mean, the ending was good in the Ravens' favor, but the ending of the last Ravens-Vikings game here in Baltimore, number one, there was white stuff everywhere. Two, me and you were together, which is fantastic. But, bro, I just hope we don't have another crazy ending like that. I mean, it would add to the story this year, right, of all the craziness we've endured.
I think it was, what, 5 touchdowns in like 120 seconds, something like that. It was just back and forth to end that snow game. That was such a blast to watch live. It really was. But, yeah, let's not have that again. Let's not have a nail biter like we've had every other game this year, it felt like. Let's actually have a team that looks like they know what they're doing out there for 60 minutes. But, like you said, it's interesting that they're coming off a bye week. You don't know what to expect. You know, these guys lost, and they've now had, it'll be almost 2 weeks to think about that loss. They've been able to go over it in their heads over and over and over again to figure out what they need to do better and how much that stung, especially to see how the Bengals lost to the Jets. You know, I'm sure some of them are thinking, we lost to these guys? Are you serious? Look what the Jets were just able to do. So I'm hoping that is a little bit more motivation for them. But the fact that it is the Vikings and you don't know what you're going to get depending on the week with this team, I hope that also is keeping the Ravens on their toes as well. I hope that, yeah, they are looking at this team as a threat. They're not overlooking them thinking this is just going to be on to the next game. But we'll see what happens. I'm excited for this game. I want to see what they're going to do. I want the defense to get to Kirk Cousins, make that offense one-dimensional, make him throw the ball and have Marlon Humphrey, you know, following that wide receiver going after him. I want to see Anthony Averett have a big game like he did last time around. I want to see Deshaun Elliott do his thing. And then on the offensive side, Lamar has been sacked a lot, and the Vikings are very good at getting to the quarterback. So this offensive line, they're going to have to do their job to keep Lamar on his feet, on his toes, and let Lamar do Lamar things. Let him do his thing. Let him run the ball if he wants to. Let him throw. He's got his own dual threat right now in Hollywood Brown and Rashad Bateman. Sammy Watkins comes back. Make it a triple threat, even better. Let's get everybody in there. Mark Andrews, that can even be your triple threat if you want it to be. Put him in the mix as well. These guys need to be on top of their game. I'm expecting a high-scoring game from the Ravens, but I think the offensive line is going to be key in order for these guys get the points.
Absolutely. That's where it always went lost, bro. It's in the trenches. You know, the offensive line has been really, really inconsistent this year and probably one of the weakest spots on the offense and on the team. It's just because you look at it, man, and you can't have a quarterback running around for his life half the time. And, I mean – and that goes with any team. You put any quarterback back there, your line's not getting the job done. You know, you're going to have a long day at the office. So, you know, you got to do better. You know, we always talk about pass blocking, run blocking schemes. We see bits and pieces, but it's like, you know, you can't let the routes develop. You can't move the change. You can't dominate time possession. You can't do the things you want to do to be successful. Not only division leader, playoff team, even if you wouldn't even talk Super Bowl contender in the AFC or even the NFL for that matter, you got to do those things fundamentally. Not every play might not happen. You might get some holding penalties. You might let a defender through. But we're saying it's got to be cohesive as a unit, way better than it's been. You can't – Lamar can't get the ball before he can look at his first or second read. He's got to sidestep guys. I mean, I've seen it all day at the Bengals game. It's like I see the receivers like start to make their break and I'm like middle. I mean, yelling in the stands middle. It's easy for me to say. I'm up on my perch and up in the upper deck. And then Lamar gets crunched, zacked. And I'm like, but and, you know, field level looks way different, right? It's a faster game. It's way different. I'm not in the pocket holding the ball, you know, but you know, it's like Lamar can't do it. Then you look at the successful throws this year, even it's like the long bombs to Hollywood and all that. Lamar clean pocket. He gets through his reads, loads up and throws clean pocket, untouched. And that's why I'm like, if you do that 75-80% of the game, you're going to have a great time with the offense, man. And the running game's got to be better.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. They might be a playoff team with the personnel they have and the injuries. They can't help it, right? But with the personnel they have, they even might be a playoff team. The AFC, they already have 5 wins already this year. Let's say they get another 6 or 7, and they're looking glorious with an early – with a good playoff berth there, with some double-digit wins stacked there, the running game as it stands now is not going to get them to the end result with a win.
There is a former Viking on the Ravens, correct, as a running back?
I think Latavius Murray is a former Viking, if I'm not mistaken, because it's not Murray. Devonta Freeman came through the Atlanta Falcon ranks. And then we know where LeBell came from, Pittsburgh. So, yeah. No, it has to be Latavius. I know you're looking up. I can see the screen bright as can be. do you have – it's obviously recording, and I can see your face on video. Yeah. Did you have it? Is it Latavius Murray for the win?
Latavius Murray, he signed a 3-year deal in 2017 with the Vikings, and then in 2019 he went to the Saints.
Got it. Speaking of that, I mean, I was a part. I wonder. Yeah, he was got to be on the roster for that snow game. No, I don't know if he was. See, now remember Toby Gerhart? Gerhart was the backup to Adrian Peterson. Remember Toby?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
because he ran that touchdown.
That snow game was 2013 after the Super Bowl win.
Yes,
so,
it was 2013. Because we play them every 8 years at home.
Right.
So 13, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 20, 21. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Because that's how the schedule works. We play the off teams every 4 years, but then it's home and home. So, like Minnesota, we went to 4 years ago in 2017. I remember that because we went on the trip. We play them at home in 2021. So now 2025, we would go back to Minnesota. And then 2029, they would come here another 8 years. So, yeah. So 2013, year after Super Bowl, that's when that infamous game happened. That was ridiculous. Who knew?
All right.
Who knew?
Yeah. But also, since we have Latavius Murray on our team, looking at the Vikings, they have a former Raven in Michael Pierce on their side.
They do.
Do you see him having any kind of impact on this game on Sunday? I mean, he was a beast when he was here with the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, to what impact? I would love to pinpoint it. But I think, yeah, he's definitely going to be an impact. He was a formidable player for us for the years that he had service here in Baltimore. I like the guy, liked what he can do. The Ravens are familiar with his demeanor, with his play, with his scheme. So, you know, it's definitely going to be something to watch on Sunday to see that battle and how that plays out. But as far as like a main factor, a key to the game, yeah, he's a key component, but he's not the end all be all. Yeah. The keys of the game are stopping their attack in big old Justin Jefferson, the receiver, and Dalvin Cook, man. Those two guys can ball out. Ravens going to have their hands full as they know it. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see. And that's another test, right? You know, none of these games are easy. And we get it. Their schedule is soft. I mean, it is. I mean, Dolphins soft this year and all that, but Ravens can go down on Thursday night in a couple days and get burned. I mean, who knows? They can come out and wallop the crap out of the Vikings. Everybody be talking about them. They go down there and lay an egg on Thursday. We don't know. You got to be consistent. Starts right now the second half of the season starts with a big push and the Vikings right now.
Yeah, if you really look at it, these next couple games sort of are must-win situations for the Ravens, so they do have a little bit of a cushion there towards the end because, like you said, Vikings, Dolphins, Bears, they all are must-wins because they end that season in December. It's Browns, Steelers, Browns, Packers, Bengals, Rams, Steelers. Those are all very tough matchups that, I mean, could go either way in the Ravens' favor or against the Ravens. So if you can get those three wins in November that are coming up now, I mean, they can't take any time off or put their feet up, but it does give them a little bit of cushion where if they lose a game in December, it isn't the end of the world. Win these games now, so towards the end, you're not like, you know, scratching and clawing to get into the playoffs.
Absolutely. And you don't want to lose those embarrassing games or the ones that you look at the end of the year and like, well, finally we had to beat this team by a field goal or finally we had to made that. You can't. I mean, it's very easy to put the season on a microscope when you look at it and you're one or two short. And you're like, well, if only we didn't maybe fumble the ball in week one and we drove down the field, or maybe if we, you know, did, or not even that, but it's like, well, maybe go all the way back to week one. Well, maybe if the defense didn't let the Raiders go down the field in 30 seconds and kick a game time field. Like, you can always pick part a game. But the AFC is so weak compared to the NFC. I mean, look, dude, what's up with now again, I want to ask you this question. Did you watch any of the Monday night game? It was a snooze fest, by the way.
I did not see any of the Monday night game.
What is up with the Chiefs? I think we broke them.
I think Tom Brady broke him in the Super Bowl.
That's a valid point. And they just won their first game this season and then kind of, I don't know. But even though they barely beat the Giants, another turnover machine, man. Mahomes had another too. I don't know, man. But, I mean, you know, that's why I mean. The AFC is so weak. I mean, yeah, we get it. Teams can emerge. It's still early. It's week eight. You know, we just finished week eight going on week nine. If you look at it, it's technically the halfway point of the season. Teams can emerge. They can go on a run or they can fade out into the darkness. So we'll see what the Ravens do. First test is Sunday against the Vikings. I think it's going to be a highly contested close game. I feel like both teams are going to score in the 20s. I'm going to say 28-24 Ravens. Get the edge by 4 at home. They're favored. I think the line opened at 5.5. I think it's still there last I checked. For all those bettors out there, we get the fantasy matchups are in full swing, and there's some good ones in this one. So get your players in, as we know. But I think the Ravens get this one done, man. What do you think?
I think the Ravens are definitely coming out with the W, and I think it is going to be a hard-fought game, but I see the Ravens winning this one 37-27.
Okay. I
want to see Lamar sitting at the second half of the fourth quarter. That's what I want to see.
Okay. No, I like that. Get Lamar Huntley in the game for the right reasons this time again.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get back to it.
On Wednesday, he was ill. He did not practice. So, I mean, Maybe you see Trace McSorley get lifted off the practice squad.
Man, it's been a while since I heard that name.
Yeah. What did he have? One preseason game, and then he got hurt with his back, right?
That's true. And then, Huntley with his play kind of solidified that as we know. I think if Huntley kind of tanked it and really didn't perform well, we probably would have seen McSorley thrown in that second spot probably when he got healthy. But, yeah, I mean, Huntley's the formidable two right now. It's been a while since you heard Trace's name. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. With your predictions, I like it. I mean, I really, it's again, it's because it's a bye week and I feel like it's week one for me. I would love the Raven. Hey, I would love it if you're more right than I am and the Ravens wallop them by double digits or more. I mean, you got a 2-score win. I love that. So putting it out there, you know, as far as the AFC North is concerned, I mean, you have to feel like this is the best division of football. East team is at 500 or better, you know, Steelers are 4-3 because they had their bye, you know, early on.
The Steelers always peak late.
They do. I mean, they started 1-3. They've won 3 straight.
Yeah.
So you have to feel like apart from, you know, the Ravens winning 5 straight and losing, they're right now the hottest team in the division. Look out. And we play them first week in December in a month. So it's going to be tumultuous, man. And can't wait for those matchups. But you got to get through the ones that are on the schedule first, starting with Minnesota. But I'm really looking forward to getting back down there to the bank and really doing it right, man. It's going to be awesome. You know, Fox NFL Sunday is going to be the house. They're going to be at the Jimmy's Tailgate as was announced. And I think it's going to be a fantastic Sunday for football. And I think the matchups, it's going to be awesome. I think it's two good teams, very good teams, got very good players on each side of the ball, the offense, defense. You know, Zim's got them coached up well. And I know they're coming off a letdown. You know, they had a crazy game against the Cowboys with their backup.
That's right.
Thought the Vikings could get that game. Cowboys are sitting 6-1 pretty. Yeah, that's awesome. So good for them. Vikings had the Cowboys, let that one slip away. So both teams are looking, they're going to be hungry. And that's what you love. You know, NFL, whether it's win streaks or losing streaks, each team's got to be hungry. And who wants it more? And the Ravens got to come out and know, man. They got to come out, put a stop to the schemes early. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, that's it. You snuff them two out or one of the two and have one of them have a bad day and the other one have a mediocre day, recipes right there. I mean, that's the big keys of the game. And then we know it all in the game, but for the Ravens, you know, take care of the football and we got to see better play, better tackling and better offensive line play is like the top of the key, but you just can't give in. You can bend but not break. And I think certainly the Ravens get it done, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, you have MVP caliber quarterback in Lamar Jackson, and then you have Kirk Cousins, who, I mean, he's not an MVP. He, with the right tools around him, I mean, anybody can do anything. And like you said, there are plenty of tools on that offensive line, plenty of wide receivers for the Vikings that will definitely make the Ravens defense day a little bit harder. But if we can make that team one-dimensional, if they force Kirk Cousins to get uncomfortable and to throw that ball and make mistakes, then the Ravens can definitely come away with a win here. And I see Lamar being able to throw that ball. Hopefully this time that he's had with Rashad Bateman, the two of them have been able to work things out, get on the same page, and get some of that cohesiveness together. Because, I mean, that's a big thing of why I think that they've looked good but not great so far is they just haven't had the time to work together. They don't look like the Bengals because they didn't play together in college and then in the pros. So give them a little bit of time and they'll both be on the same page. And this is a perfect game to really show what Rashad Bateman can do. It's a perfect game for Hollywood Brown to look exceptional like he has in the last couple weeks. And I mean, this really should be a win in every which way for the Ravens. I don't see, unless they come out completely flat because their minds are still, you know, on the beach somewhere from that bye week. That's the only
way.
That's the only way.
Are you hosting them at your beach house? Are you hosting?
I mean, if they would like to stop by, they are more than welcome to. Absolutely. But
got to put it out there, man. Get some Ravens to stay there.
I know, right? Yeah. Have a bash
at the
beach.
Get the roost down in the OC.
Yeah, that's right. Go to the Pit and Pub. That's where the OC Ravens roost is, across the street from the Steelers bar, the Salty Dog. So, all right, Josh. Well, I mean, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call? We're both saying Ravens win up against Minnesota. What else is there to add?
I think we got it, man. Looking up and down the gambit, I think this one, pretty much previewing the Vikings matchup, we got this one covered. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, if you are having issues with Apple Podcasts, I do upload the show to Facebook as a video. And Facebook has their own podcast feed that is spotty at best, so you might be able to listen to the show through them all the way through, or you can watch the video, listen to us on Facebook as well. But you got options, so check us out on Facebook. We are sharing stuff all the time over there, and the actual show, so check it out. Now, we do this show for free, and you listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Welcome back from the bye. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. While you were doing our outro there, I was actually trying to pull up here the old Apple Podcast Trusty app. Our show is still not playing on that platform.
Still not playing on Apple
Podcasts. It's still doing the spinny thing for me, so no luck yet. I've been checking every time.
Stupid Apple. Fix your app. Fix it. We got people that want to hear us.
Podcast or the new radio. Let's go.
Come on.
But I was just checking for our listeners. A no can do in the podcast app. But as Brandon always alludes to, we got plenty of other platforms to listen to the show. We don't want you to miss any action on the call here. But again, we appreciate all your support through the years, and just love doing it. Love doing it for you guys. And just me and Brandon just love talking Ravens football. And we got it, man. Get rid of the bye week blues. We're back to Ravens football for week 9 and then some. 9 through 17. Possibly playoff push in January. Let's hopefully the Ravens are playing some meaningful football in the postseason. How's that? They definitely can't wait to get down to the bank. For all those that are going, we can't wait to see you down there. For all those who are not going, root hard, eat your crab cakes, get filled up, ready to go, because this is going to be another installment of Ravens football you don't want to miss. Can't wait to see if we can take it to the Minnesota Vikings and a pack and back.
Hear that?
West with an L.
That's playing on Facebook, directly on Facebook. There you go.
There you got it. Straight from the man and the source himself, directly on Facebook. You heard it here first, so there you go. Content is streaming awesome on the Facebook app. And glad to hear it, Brandon. Thank you a lot for the update. And Apple's got to get their apps together.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, maybe it'll work once before the season's over. I doubt it. But, again, it's kind of like rest in peace. Podcast app. I can almost maybe delete it off my phone here. We'll see. But hey, without further ado, Ravens matchup against the Vikings, send a packing to the Midwest with another L. 6-2 is the goal. Can the Ravens get there? We shall see. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.